brought that scripture to him from a... my mic is off. It's just hanging, isn't it? I'm sorry. Y'all heard anything I said at all? I'm so sorry. All right. Thank you, son. I got caught up in that last song. I just singing and forgot all about this. There, is that okay? Thank you. When you leave, what am I going to... Sam, are you paying attention? You know how to keep an eye out for me? Okay. And Laura Clark is here today. Laura, why don't you stand? We would like to embarrass you. No, we'd like to welcome you. No, come on, stand back up. Laura, for those of you who don't know, Matt and Laura Clark are coming to be a part of our team from Austin, Texas. And they're coming to join us and worship with us and serve on the team. Leading many areas of the ministry, and we're so blessed to have them. They have two great little guys, and if you know of a really great home that they could lease at a really great price, or if you want to really give them one, they're ready to receive it and bless you. Laura, great to have you here, hon, and your whole family that's here. We love you guys. Bless you all. So glad that you're here and with us. It's a great thing. No, it's just been an emotional week with Pastor Doherty's situation, and then Tyler's situation even stronger than that. But you know what? Life happens. Things happen. We live in a world that is under a curse. We live in a world that has a terrorist running around trying to steal, kill, and to destroy. And it's not Osama bin Laden. Is Satan himself. Osama's a pretty good representation of him, however. No, he is. I mean, he carries out, if you have a question about how the enemy is, just look at him. Doesn't care who he takes out, doesn't care who he destroys, doesn't care what happens in the aftermath, could care less. As long as he achieves his objective to create confusion, to create turmoil, to create problems, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that's a prototype, really. He's a prototype of the enemy himself. And so you've got to be aware there is an enemy. But here's some good news for you. God's called us to come together collectively as a unit, as a team. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God has a team. I know Zach can relate to it. You know, in that game, he kicks off. It's not just him against everybody else. He's got a whole set of teammates there. And they're all working together to a common goal, to see a victory accomplished. That is God's plan for the church, that we would all work together, find our place on the team, everyone filling their part, doing what they're supposed to do. And as they do, we march towards victory, because the Word of God says that even the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. I can tell you what a screwed up theology I had as a kid growing up. And that I pictures, and because you got to understand the church I came from. The church I came from had sort of a survivalist mentality. We didn't know a whole lot about victory. We knew about hanging on until Jesus came. It was like, just hold fast, hide inside these church walls, and Jesus is going to come save you. He'll take care of you. And we would sing this song, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." Yeah, some of you old folks admitted that you knew that. Most of you would never know that song. And I'm one of those that knows it. "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." Boy, there's a victory song, huh? Man, are we more than conquerors or what? We're holding the fort till Jesus comes. And this is so funny. It was an old Pentecostal church I grew up in. And in that church, they had white hankies, and they'd wave these white hankies. I don't know about you, but that's a sign of surrender. I mean, we're in trouble. Oh, devil, please don't beat us up anymore. I got news for you. Satan, you better watch out. Life Church is alive and well. I'm going to kick your butt. Did he say kick your butt? He did. He said kick your butt. Guys, listen to me. God, we have a designated laughter person on the front row. God's plan for us is victorious, but we are not to do it alone. You know, if an enemy is trying to win a battle, what he will try to do is separate and isolate. And if he can break through a line and separate a group of the troops or a few individuals, if he can separate them, he can take them out. But we're not going to be separated. We're going to join together. We're going to fight like never before because God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And God's got a team. Say, I'm on the team. Yeah, you made the team, guys. God's ordained it. God's put you here for a purpose. And so let's talk a little bit about this. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, I made reference to it. Jesus says, I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. As I was sharing with you, I used to have this image or this picture of gates being pressed down on us as a church. The gates of hell, but the gates of hell won't prevail. We'll hold them off. What a warped thought that is. That's not what it's saying. It's saying as we march, as we attack, as we're on the offensive, the gates won't even stand. We'll bust them down, bust them out. Do you understand that? It's not a defensive posture. We're in an offensive posture. We're in an offensive mode. We're going to move, and we're going to take territory. You see, when Jesus came upon this earth as God's representative, and if you ever want to know what God's like, you ever hear someone say, well, I wonder what God's like? Well, just read about how Jesus was. How Jesus was is exactly what God's like. If you want to know, it's not a mystery. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I don't do anything but what he tells me to do. I don't say anything other than what he tells me to say. And Jesus was moved with compassion. And so is our Father. You see, sympathy is all right. It's nice to sympathize with someone. Empathy goes a little farther because when you empathize with someone, you can sort of relate to them because you've been there, gone through something similarly to that. And so you have a real connection with them. But you know what really is needed is compassion. And that's what Jesus had. It's the love of God. And you know who has it now? You. And all your teammates that are sitting around you. God's love has been deposited in you, and you have compassion. But you know what compassion does? If you watch what Jesus did, how many times did Jesus do something because he was moved with compassion? See, compassion will move you to action. Compassion requires a step of faith. Faith that works by compassionate love. And so when you are moved with compassion, you are moved to action. You will do something. You won't just feel bad for somebody or have your heart touched because you could empathize with where they are. Linda had to pick a few things up at the mall this week in Tulsa, and so I went down with her, and I had a very short night. Had about 4 hours sleep, and I was really tired by mid-afternoon, and I was going to go out to the car and push my seat all the way back and take a little nap. But it was really raining hard. So as I was heading out towards the door, right before you get to the door there at one entrance of the mall or exit of the mall, there are these huge chairs that are vibrating chairs. You put some money in. Anybody know where those chairs are? Anybody ever sat in those chairs? Oh, yeah. So I didn't do the vibration thing. I just thought I'd sit and let the rain lift. And I don't know how it happened, but I fell asleep. And I really don't know how long I was asleep. But I know when I woke up, Linda was sitting next to me, and I never saw her, felt her sit down or anything. And I asked her, how long have I been here? And she said, well, I've been gone about 20, 30 minutes. So I guess I was sleeping during that time. I hope none of you went by and were embarrassed that your pastor was sitting there asleep at the mall in the public place, probably drooling, you know. So it was still raining pretty hard, and some people were sort of hanging around the door, and this gentleman rolls up in a wheelchair. And my heart went out to him. He was alone. And I had just been at the Apple store, and he had a big package obviously from there as well, and I could see he was thinking about going or not going out to his car, and he's one of these guys who had the gloves on, you know, and he's capable of getting in the car himself and putting his wheelchair in as well, you know. I mean, an amazing thing in of itself that he would do that. I could see he was not knowing for sure whether he should try it or not. And so I called over to him. I said, "Sir, whenever you're ready to go, if you'll let me know, I've got a small umbrella here. I'd love to help you." And, no, I'll be fine. And that went on a couple times. I offered that, and he said no. And then finally he rolled over by us, and we got to talk a little bit. And we finally convinced him that it would be all right. Linda could hold that computer package, and I could help him out to his car, and he wouldn't get drenched. And he could get in his car, and then I'd bring his package to him, which is what we did. And what I'm saying to you is this, is that compassion moves you to action. If all I did is feel sorry for him, I would have just felt sorry for him and watched him go out and get soaking wet in the rain and maybe ruin whatever he just bought. But see, compassion will motivate you to go do something more than that. And what I'm going to declare over us today as a local church is that we will receive an infusion of the compassion of God like never before, and that we will be motivated to action like never before. Next week when we do the big serve, which I think they already mentioned, if you're a college student or high school student, teenager, shirts are on us. You just got to come back and be here with us and help us serve. We're going to reach out and serve our community. We want to create a level of excellence that's not only within our walls, but we want our community to have excellence with it. I was telling the first service, it's a good thing they don't let me have a gun, because after we went and cleaned up Sooner Park and Johnstone Park and whatever else we're going to clean up, we'll let you know next week. If I were back over there and someone's throwing litter, I'll shoot him, you know, in love, but I'll shoot him, and we won't have that problem anymore. But we've got to just learn we are the center of it all. See, I want you to understand that the local church is not some little building on Swan Drive that the rest of the city and the rest of the world looks at and goes, "Oh, isn't that a nice little church over there that has no significance and has no meanings?" No, God's plan and God's will is that we would take our proper place and position, and we would be the center of it all, out from which comes everything that pertains to life and godliness. Anything that has have any eternal value is going to come out from the local church. It's going to come out from us because we are the church. That was a lot better than you responded. I was feeling that. No, that's good. If it's contrived, who cares? The purpose, the plan, the team. That's us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, this is our key verse for the whole day. This is where we get an understanding that we're not on the outside looking in. It's the world that's on the outside, even though their perspective is that they're the center of it. If you're involved in politics and government, the idea, the thought is the center of it is Washington, D.C. If you're involved in the entertainment business, the center is Hollywood. If you're involved in athletics, the center of it's wherever your sports team is at and wherever that's happening. That's the center, man. That's the center of it all. But it's not true. Here's what God's word says. At the center of everything, say everything, Christ rules the church. And the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. I don't know if you've ever, in your computer shopping and so forth, there's always a section at the store. That's a strange ring. There you go. Hallelujah. Tell them I'll get to them in just a moment. I'll be with them. But there's a section in every computer store called peripherals. Do you know what they are? They're not the computer. There are things that you add to the computer. There are things that are around the computer. There are things that help about the computer. But they're not the computer. They're not the core. They're not the center. It won't function on its own. It needs to be connected. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is not peripheral to the world. They got it wrong. And my concern is for us as believers, sometimes we buy into the fact that we're just a little church trying to hold on. We're just a little church trying to do something. No, we're not. We're the living, marching army of God, destined for victory, more than conquerors, called to join, to be together, to make a difference in this world. Yeah. today, I want you to get inside of you that what you're a part of is significant. What you're part of is important. What you're part of is critical to what happens in this world. And you and I need to step up, hook arms, join together, and be the men and women of God that He's called us to be in and through the local church. And listen to me, I'm not trying to make that appeal for just this church. If you're here as a visitor, or perhaps you're here as a student, and you know you're here for a couple of years and then you're moving, I'm not talking about just this local church. I'm talking about a local church. Now listen to me, I want to qualify it, a life-giving local church. We don't need a lot of religious churches. We need life-giving churches. I don't care what banner they have over them. I don't care what title they have. If they're giving life, if they're relating to you and to others of the significance and the importance of Jesus Christ in your life, that He is the center of everything, then we've got someone we can hook arms with, we can go do something with. These churches that we're cooperating with this next week, they're all life-giving churches. They have life-giving pastors. They're some of my very best friends. We're all excited about it as pastors. We can't wait to go and do it, but we're also real excited about coming back together and say, look what we did. And it's not something we're going to do once. We're going to do it again and again and again. And I'm praying and believing we won't do it just once a year. We'll do it multiple times a year. And then we'll do other events and we'll do other things. God's called us to be an influencing factor in this community. God's called us to have a voice. But listen carefully to me. It takes more than a few. It takes many. Everybody finding their place and finding their part and hooking up. Oh, there's such power in that. There's such strength in that. Jeremiah 29:11, we often take as a personal promise for ourselves. And it is, and it's a great one. But today I want to bring it to us in a little different fashion. I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. Listen to me. I believe that's just for you, Ted. I believe that that's just for you, Zach. I believe that that's just for you, Kyle. Ray, it's for you. But I believe it's for us as a local church, that we are united as one. See, each one of us is a part, not a whole. So when we look at that scripture sometimes, we've got to be a little bit guarded that we don't take that as being, that's for me, that's mine, and it's all about me. See, we live in a world that's all about me. We live in a world that fosters individualism like never before. It's my notebook. It's my iPod. It's my space. It's me. It's all about me. No. We're called to be together. We're called to find our place. Separately, we're not much. But together, we're awesome. And we just got to find that right place, that right fit. And today, I'm praying and believing you're going to find your right fit. If you didn't have time to fill out that inventory card, because I know only about half of them came in, I want to encourage you, don't leave them. Don't leave today without filling that out. If you don't do anything but, listen to me, if you don't do anything but filling out your name, address, email, phone number, we'll be able to at least communicate with you. And you never know when you may need something, or we may want to be able to reach out and help you some way. Let us have that opportunity to be able to connect with you. We're not trying to just make you do some work here. Please listen to me. If you don't want to serve in this local church, we don't want you serving, because you'll have a funky attitude. And we've got enough funk we're dealing with already. We don't need more funk. And if you can't go to another church and serve joyfully and cheerfully and be a part and connect with them, then just keep praying and seeking God, and He will show you where you can go. There's a place for you. Might be Outer Mongolia, but there's a place for you. I almost said a local city and got in trouble again. I better not do that. Look at Romans chapter 7 with me. Paul's writing to this church. He's writing a letter to a church. And here's what he says. This is how it is with you, my friends. You are now, look at this, You are now part of the body of Christ. You're not it. You're part of it. And you are free to belong to Christ, who was raised to life so we could serve God. You see the purpose that's at hand here? The purpose is to serve, but it's not to do it alone. It's to be a part connected to another part that we can together serve, just like we're going to do next week. Hey, if I just asked Jamie, next week, I'll tell you what, we're all going to stay here and worship God and have a nice time, but Jamie, would you please go clean up Sooner Park, and when you're done, would you get Johnstone Park and then come back? And that's not fair. You say, that's not right, and you're right. But how many of you know, if we all go do it, it's not that big of a deal. And the same thing is true in the function within a church. The same thing is true with the function of any outreach that we will ever do. It should not be the responsibility of one. It's all of us, because all of us are just a part. Paul goes on in that letter, in the 12th chapter, he says, so we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, and individually we are parts of one another. Now look at this part. Mutually dependent on one another. Mutually dependent upon one another. I need you and you need me. We need one another. You need the people next to you, the people behind you, the people in the back row. You need these people in the front row. Someday I'm going to do this. I really am. I'm going to have everybody in the front row stand up, walk back, and have everybody in the back row walk and stand in the front. Because I like to see some different faces up here once in a while. Tired of the same old face. No, but I'm just messing with you. Listen to you. We need one another. How many of you know each part of a body helps the whole body? If I take my thumb off, I will right now. And I set it here. And that little thumb tries to get the cup, tries to run the computer, tries to do whatever, tie a tie, which I won't wear, but tie a tie. It ain't going to work, is it? Can't do much by himself, can he? But how many of you have appreciated your thumb if you've ever hit it with a hammer? Here's a great thing. You ever done this? Toom, toom, bam! Hit that thumb. You know, this hand over here doesn't go na 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 na. What does this hand do? Oh, and then what? Oh, you poor little thumb. It just, see, that's how God made us. So when one of us gets hurt, what's our reaction? Girl, we're here for you. We'll help you. We'll make it all better. Amen. It's a body. A part, not very good. I'm going to tell you, the Starbucks barista girls have got to just settle down or they're going to have to leave. God's created us to help one another. God's created us to work together. If we wanted to do something and move something that weighed a lot, if one of us tried to do it, it'd be hard. But if we all gathered around, and if you picture, we used to have a big piano up here. And if we wanted to move that thing, man, I couldn't move it by myself. But we get several of you, we all get a little part of it, walk a little bit with it over, we can manage that. See, that's the same way it is with this local church. We have reached a point in the ministry of this local church where we're beginning to stress and strain. It's getting to be a little bit hard, because we can use some more people coming and joining and helping to lift the load. And so those cards that we ask you to fill out, yeah, we would like to have you get involved. But if you don't, all that's going to happen is I'm not going to allow anybody to burn out. I'm not going to allow anybody to get fried, and we're not going to overextend our financial resources. We'll just temper it back until God provides and God speaks to the right people to come and help and join. But I want to tell you something. There's something beyond what you do for the church. It's what it does for you. You see, you're the one that's been ordained and destined, whether it's this church or another church, you've been ordained and destined to be a part of the body. And when you connect and become of a part of the body, oh, do you have a fulfillment. It's called commitment, though, isn't it? You've got to make the commitment. I'm reading a good book by Mitch Albom called Have a Little Faith, and it's a story about this guy's a writer, and very rather famous one. Wrote a great book called Tuesdays with Maury, and some of you are familiar with that book, and has some similarities to it. In this case, it's his rabbi, when he was a young boy growing up, had called him and asked him if he'd do his eulogy. Now, he isn't on his deathbed, so Mitch travels back and forth and talks to the rabbi, calls him Reb. And there's some great parts in this. And I don't have time to share it all with you because they just gave me one of those ugly signs back there that says how much time I have left. But I want to read this part that the rabbi shares with Mitch as he's talking. He says, Mitch, the word commitment has lost its meaning. He says, I'm old enough to remember when it used to be a positive. A committed person was someone to be admired. He was loyal and steady. Now a commitment is something you avoid. You don't want to tie yourself down. He was talking about it in reference to marriage. And then he says, it's the same way with faith, by the way. We don't want to get stuck having to go to services all the time, or from a Jewish perspective, or obeying all the rules. We don't want to commit to God. We'll take him when we need him, or when things are going good. But real commitment? That requires staying power in faith and in marriage. And if you don't commit, I asked, your choice, but you miss what's on the other side. Well, what's on the other side? Ah, the old rabbi spoke and said, a happiness you cannot find alone. Those of us who have found happiness in relationship and in marriage can attest to that. But I can also tell you, I've been a part of churches that were not life-giving. And it was very hard. And now I'm a part of a church that's very life-giving. And it's very easy. And it's not hard for me to commit to you, and you don't seem to have a tough time committing here. What we're asking for is for more of you to join us. I'm telling you, we're having a lot of fun. Life at Life Church is not a hard thing. We have learned how to flow in the unforced rhythms of His grace. And we enjoy what we do. There's great fulfillment in what we do. There's great satisfaction in what we do. Hey, next week when you come, if you come and it just doesn't really suit you to go out and clean up somewhere, hey, hang around here and help take care of the kiddos, or stay here and help get the food ready. It's going to be like a harvest time at a farm years ago. Most of you won't have any reference to that at all, but that's okay. You've seen movies. All of you, your whole life, that's all you've seen is movies, so everything is a movie reference. But anyway, it's harvest time, and you go out and you do that, and then you all come back and you have this celebratory lunch. I mean, it was a great thing back on the farm. I asked, like, I've lived there all my life, but I haven't. But anyway, Life Church is fun. It will always be fun. If it stops being fun, we're going to go do something else. But I know it's always going to be fun. You know why? God's in the middle of it. God's in the middle of us. God's in the middle of this church. God's in the middle of the life-giving churches in this city. And God wants to do a great work. Let me read this to you from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. Say, that's us. Yeah. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work. Ah, there's an interesting thought. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. With the Lord's authority, I say this. Now, I want to qualify this. This is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus, not me speaking to you. As much as I'd like to say these words, I'm so sweet, so nice, and so kind. I just couldn't bring myself to it, so I'm just going to read what Paul said. As a follower of the Lord, I order you to stop living like stupid, godless people. Paul said that. But Pastor Mark would like to parrot what Paul just said. You're not stupid. You're not godless. We shouldn't live like stupid, godless people. We need to live like those people that have purpose, that have not just sympathy, not just empathy, but we have compassion. Here at this church, we regularly talk about connecting, growing, and serving. Our life groups are founded upon connecting, growing, and serving. We want you to connect, get to know one another. We're trying to make this church a stickier church so you can stick and be a part of it. And you see, some of you have been wearing Teflon for way too long. We need you to slip on one of our Velcro jackets, and you'll be able to rub up against one another, and you're going to be able to stick. Because you've been wearing that Teflon, and you just slide right out of here. When there starts to be talk, you're the same way in a relationship. When you start talking about commitment, you go, slide right out of there. You've got to slide with it. No, Velcro, say Velcro. See, we're going to be Velcro people. We're going to stick to one another. We're going to stick with one another. We're going to help one another. When it's difficult, we're going to help one another. When it's fun, we're going to have fun celebrating and having victory and jumping up and down and just having a great time. And then when things are tough, we're going to turn next to us on either side, and there's somebody there. You're not alone. And you can hook up, and you can march forward, and there can be victory. It all starts with one commitment. And until this commitment is right, none of these commitments ever get right. That commitment is a commitment to have a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. His Son who came to this earth, who died for us, was buried for us, and rose again for us, who took upon Himself all of our sins on the cross, and He wiped the slate clean. What an incredible deal. And today, you and I have that opportunity. All we have to do, this is so amazing. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't be born in the right family to it. All you've got to do, though, is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that He came and He died for you. Not just me, but for you. We like to pray a prayer here. We call it a believer's prayer. I want to pray with you right now, and then Liz is going to come and close our service, but I also want to pray with you. If it's not Life Church, that's okay. But would you please find a local church that you can lock into, you can be committed to, you can be Velcroed in and become a part and be part of the solution of what God's ordained, because this really is the center of it all. We're not peripheral to the world. We're the center. It's the world that's peripheral to us. We do have the answers. We have the resiliency. We have the power, and we will not be defeated, and the gates of hell will not stop us. It starts with this prayer of our making that one-on-one personal commitment. We're going to sign up right now and say, yeah, I'll be on that team. I want to be on that team because that's the team that wins. I want to be on the victorious team. Aren't you glad God loves you that much, cares for you that much? No guilt, no condemnation. Oh, I hate religion. I haven't said that yet today, so I want to make sure I got it in. I hate religion. I do. I just despise religion. Religion is hard. Religion is mean. Religion always makes you guilty and condemned. But Jesus came to set you free and give you a great and wonderful life and to make it just so good. Oh, it's so good. Would you pray with me today, everybody? If you're praying this for the first time, just pray with your heart. You say, oh, can't, there's got to be more. No, that's it. It's the way God set it up. I didn't set it up. I'd probably make you jump through a few more hoops. Buy me a Starbucks. You're one of the requirements. Pray this with me. Say, Father, what a great God you are. What a good God you are. Thank you for loving me and sending your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me, is buried for me, and rose again for me. I thank you. My sins are forgiven. Today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time or as a prayer recommitment, we'll have people up front here that would love to pray with you afterwards. If you have any need at all that you just like to have a prayer of agreement, someone just to care for you, love you, we have life group leaders here that will come and pray with you. Some of our staff may be able to stay up here and be with you. But gosh, guys, let's be the family that God's called us to be. Let's be the center of it all that God's called us to be. But let's begin to have a greater sphere of influence and a greater impact upon this community and the world. Keep Pastor Linda in your prayer. Last report I heard was she was in Istanbul, Turkey. She may be on her way to Tirana, Albania by now, but her luggage didn't make it. And she refuses to wear a burqa. I'm not sure what the styles are in Istanbul these days, but we may have a whole new Linda when we get back. But Lizzie, bless you.
Well, connect, grow, serve. That's what this church is all about. It's about us connecting, growing, and serving. And like Pastor Mark said,